Lesson this quarterly is on the word community, church and community. And this morning, I need you have my designated volunteer reader, have your information with you.
Yep.
That's right. Look up John, the 10th chapter, verses 7 through 10, and hold them. We're going to talk about church and community. Now, like to know, what is your concept of what a church is established for or a church is to do? Otherwise, what are we here in Arlington as a church for? What is your concept when you hear about a church? Why are we here?
I think it's to encourage each other and to build each other up.
Okay. Is there any biblical text that says that?
Probably.
Yeah. For, do not forsake assembling yourselves together. So that's it. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is anybody giving you a dollar today?
Not yet.
Well, tough. I was hoping somebody would, but I guess it's just not in the cards today. So, okay, we come together to strengthen each other. How do we accomplish that?
Through things like Sabbath school.
Sabbath school? Okay, I would hope so. What else? How else do we strengthen each other?
Reminding and encouraging us to remember the truth.
Okay. Remembering the truth about what?
About the Lord.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Be forgiving.
Pardon?
Be forgiving?
Forgiving of who?
One another.
Okay.
We need to develop relationships with the people around us, not just be nice and say hello at church, but develop relationships where we're part of each other's lives. And we interact with the problems and the good times.
Okay. All right. All good answers. Anybody else?
Well, I think of us as human beings, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and socially. And when I come to church, I'm thoroughly fed because I am richly blessed. That's my spiritual feeding. And then all the others that are being fed, and socially, this, I get well fed socially because these are quality, God-fearing, God-loving people. Mm-hmm. And so I feel just overjoyed and filled with the presence of our Heavenly Father.
Good.
Within each one of us.
Morning, ladies. Very good. I appreciate you sharing that. Who knows what? Yes.
As a church, we also are a witness to others.
Okay.
Just the fact that people driving down 20 see a Seventh-day Adventist church.
Okay.
And then when they happen to meet an Adventist, they know there's a church.
Okay. You know,
we talk about dark counties and stuff like this where there is no church.
Okay. I got a good question for you. Can there be a dark county where there is an Adventist church?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just checking. All right. What do you expect to get out of church? Yes, Lloyd.
I do it because of tradition.
Tradition.
It's part of my life.
Just the thing to do, huh?
My friends are here.
Yeah.
I love the church.
Okay.
I love the people,
All right.
And probably talk too much and don't listen enough. We need to listen to other people.
Oh, you do great.
See their needs.
So he comes because of tradition. Is there a danger in that?
I
Could be. Could be a big danger in that. But I know exactly what Lloyd is saying. So. Pardon?
There's a blessing in that, though, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, all habits, all of our lives are habits. We develop habits.
Yeah.
It's okay. One of the habits that we, that yeah. Lloyd was saying he has gotten, and I understand. I mean, I.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Should you qualify to come to church?
You mean to be a sinner?
Well, that's funny to you all, but it's not funny to me. In my life, I've had very highs and I've had a couple of very, very lows. I mean low. And I remember walking into the Arlington Church and the greeter at the door met me and said, exactly why are you coming here today? Oh, that's an interesting question. So my answer was, well, where else would you want me to be? You know, at a bar drinking, 7-Eleven buying groceries, sitting at home watching TV, I just decided to come to church. Well, I don't know why, but I guess that's okay. Now, how would you like that as a welcoming wagon to the church? That's a true story.
They had a real gift.
Pardon?
I said they had a real gift.
Yeah, exactly. So, see, is do you qualify to come to church?
Well, I do.
Okay, and how's that? That's right. That's why they say lawyer never asks a question you don't know the answer to. That's right. Why do you say that, Jim? I appreciate that. That's why I like Jim. He speaks his mind. That's good.
I'm a terrific sinner.
Okay.
And okay. I need the forgiveness of yeah. the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, just to think that we ought to have qualifications on what level of sinner are you that you can come to church, you know. Or the other one is, man, when you go get your act together, then come on over to church. I mean, how idiotic can we be? Yes.
To quote one of our past pastors, he said that if you're a sinner, the Arlington Church is a hospital for sinners. If you're a saint, you can go to King.
Yeah. So what? Yes, ma'am.
When I was about nine, 10 years old, my mom, of course, in those days, if the mother was mad, then this, my grandmother was, and so it came on down. But my mother would take the children to church. So she took my brother and me to church, and it was okay. But when I got home, we'd eat lunch, but I couldn't go out to play with my friends, and I was so angry because, you know, just because I go to church, I can't go out and play with my friends.
Yeah.
So we'd eat lunch, and then we'd take a nap on the couch. That was our rest day.
Yeah. You know, we, as a lot of us grew up, as having good morning. How are you folks doing? Good to see y'all. Y'all been to our class before, right?
Yes, we have.
Okay, good. Saved another dollar.
We met in Orlando this week.
Oh, is that right?
Just by chance.
Yeah.
Just by chance.
Is that right?
We were in the Holy Land.
Well, congratulations. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you see as the most important function of church that we're supposed to do? What is the very reason for our existence as a church? What do you see that number one priority of a church to accomplish?
Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Spread the gospel, okay. Who else? Yes.
I think encourage each other.
Okay. Okay. What else? Yes.
There's power in prayer when a group of like believers come.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As I was pastoring churches, one of the first thing I did was set up an intercessory prayer group. That was the first ministry in any church I was in, because that's one of the most powerful tools. And there are certain people that have the gift of intercessory prayer, and you want those people immediately using that gift. Absolutely. Why do you see the function of the church? Now, the quarterly has the church and the community. So what is our function as a church to the community? Yes?
To be a beacon of light.
Beacon of light. Beacon of light about what?
About the gospel, about the good news.
All right. We keep coming back to gospel and good news. Yes?
Reflect the life of Christ.
Reflect the life of Christ. Okay. All nice words. All nice phrases. Heard them all my life. Right. What else? Yes?
Another way of saying it is to tell people that Jesus loves them. And if they ever get that concept, then their life is on a better path.
Okay. All right. Lloyd?
You know, we human beings, we all have different needs. Those needs are hard to see in some people. We need to see in others.
Okay.
And, you know, we need to be conscious people and understand them.
Okay.
It's not easy. And okay. You know, we can preach the gospel, and that's fine, but they have other needs. It's a lot more involved in their families and their kids, and it takes some of our time.
Okay. That's very interesting. Who else? What are we supposed to accomplish as a church as far as the community? How many of y'all ever seen the movie Field of Dreams? What was the key phrase in that? Build it and they would come. Should that be the philosophy of our church? Build it and they will come. Why not?
People, I'll put it this way, people of the world versus people of the church, which there really is no difference, they look at other people. They don't look at the church. The church is just, as I said earlier, that's a reminder, oh, there's an Adventist church. But they want to know an Adventist before they're willing to join the church, so to speak.
Okay.
I had an interesting experience several years ago. I was doing a school evaluation just out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and in a little town. We stayed in Harrisburg, got to the hotel. There was a big reception that was taking place out at the school. Went out to get in my car. The guy next to me, who was parked next to me, was going out there also. He says, "Are you going?" And I says, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, come ride with me." So I got in his pickup. We drove out. First thing when he pulled out on the road, reaches in his pocket, pulls out a pack of cigarettes, and he says, "Here, have a cigarette." I says, "No thanks, I don't smoke." We talked, he knew where I was from and the like. Came home that night, it was one of these hotels with an outside entrance, and we were up on the second floor. Going up the stairs, and he says, "Hey, there's a bar back down the street." He says, let's go have a drink. And I said, "No thanks," I says, "I don't drink." And there was a gal right behind us, and she says, "I do." So they went out down to the bar. And I don't know if it was the next day or the following day. I was in the little workroom that they have for the evaluators, and I wanted to see if they had something cold to drink in the refrigerator, and I walked over. And he says, he was standing there, and he's pouring himself a cup of coffee. And he slid it over, and he says, "Here, take this one. I'll get another one." I said, "No, thanks." I said, "I'm looking for something cold." And he looked at me, and he says, "Do you get headaches?" And I have a headache 24/7 because of a health problem. And I says, "Yeah." He says, "It's no wonder." He says, "Your halo's on too tight." We went on through the week, but the shocker came at the very end. We had the presentation at the end of the evaluation to the administration. We're walking out to our cars, and he hollered at me. And he said, "Hey, just a minute." He says, "I want to talk to you." So I walked out the cars with him. He says, "Yeah, I want you to know," he says, "I've been watching you all week." He says, my grandmother is a Seventh-day Adventist. And I just wondered if all Adventists believed the same way she does. I thought to myself, wow.
Yeah, that's interesting.
We never know when people are watching us. And it's that watching that's going to make them decide whether or not they want anything to do with Adventists.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting deal. Okay, now, I've got a question to ask you. Are we successful in presenting the image of Seventh-day Adventist to the community? Not just talk about Arlington. Are we successful in presenting the image of the Seventh-day Adventist Church to the community? So here are some answers.
Can I change that question a little bit?
No. Yes.
Sometimes.
Well, that's a cop-out answer. Are we? What are we known for?
Sabbath keepers.
Number one thing, if you went around and surveyed 100 people and said, what do you know about Seventh-day Adventists? What do you think would be the number one answer? What?
Saturday to church.
Go to church on Saturday? What else?
They don't eat pork.
Don't eat pork.
I have a friend that teaches Sunday school, and he did a survey in his class about different religions. And when he mentioned Seventh-day Adventists, the people said, aren't they so standoffish?
Okay. All right.
We're not things like
that. Okay. All right. So now we get back and I ask the question again. Are we successful as a church presenting ourselves to the community?
Depends upon who you're talking to.
Well, what does that mean?
Because I have a friend that was an Adventist. He is now a minister of a Methodist church. And he says, the Adventist church has everything wrong.
Okay.
So, are we presenting something wrong? Or are we observing something?
Well, I think we say a lot of things wrong. I certainly wouldn't say we use everything wrong, but I think we say a lot of things wrong. Yes?
I met a couple ladies yesterday at the health club, and we were talking, and the first thing they asked me was, did I have a church home? And I told them yes, and they asked me where I went to church. And their comment, I thought was very interesting. One of the ladies said, well, I know a few Seventh-day Adventists, and I really don't think there's anything that y'all believe that would keep you out of heaven.
That's good. Good. Yes.
Big Mouth is here again. I have a nurse that comes to me Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and takes care of my bath and etc., etc. And she's Catholic. But I call her my angel in human flesh. She is the sweetest gal, and I don't talk. She knows I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I go to church on Sabbath, but I don't preach to her. I don't tell her this or that. But I gave her the bookmark. I said a prayer for you today. I know God must have heard. I felt the answer in my heart, although he spoke no word and so forth. And she has that bookmark in her car. And she says, tells me, oh, Norma, you're with me every time, all the time, you know, and like that. And we just have the most loving relationship. And I expect to see her in heaven just as well as if she was a Seventh-day Adventist.
Absolutely. What do you wish that Seventh-day Adventists were known for? Oh, you're a Seventh-day Adventist? Well, you're the people. Fill in the blank. Yes?
You're the people who display the fruits of the Spirit.
Okay. What's the truth?
What's the truth?
What is the truth of the Spirit?
The fruits.
Oh, the fruit. Oh, excuse me. Okay. Yes. Maybe Sue's right. I do need a hearing aid. Well, don't tell her I said that. The fruit of the Spirit. Absolutely. Yes.
Well, I'm sure your question is to that Adventist church overall. But here locally, I know if you ask the Methodist church over here that we gave them our building after their building was destroyed by a tornado, I think they have a pretty good feeling about the Arlington Seventh-day Adventist mm-hmm. church.
That's a minute purse people. Spread out 100,000 people. What would they say, the average person? What would you want them to say? I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, you're the... What?
Caring church.
Caring church. What do you mean by that?
Just like he was saying, we reach out to other people with their needs. We have a food pantry where we feed people every week. Hopefully we as individuals are helping.
How many people do we feed every week?
We serve 85 this week.
85 out of 450,000 people.
But don't those people share with their friends and
I don't know.
What we're doing?
I don't know.
Lay a bet they do.
And we're not the only Adventist church in that form.
Jesus ministered to the individual when he was here on earth. He ministered wherever he was coming in contact with. Okay. It was an ongoing thing. He wasn't only big evangelist to ministry.
You know, I'm always in the position to try to help God every once in a while. Now, why didn't Jesus, when he was here, started his ministry, build a real nice building, proclaim who he was, opened up the doors of this nice building, and wait for people to come to him? Yes?
I think he came to teach that God lives in our hearts and minds.
Okay. Why didn't he open up a nice building? A lot of activities, name it after himself. Jesus Christ University.
Jesus Christ University.
Everybody come there.
He knew the lawsuits might come.
See what happens. People there, they know where to find him. Have his food pantry, which I believe in food pantry. I think it's a fantastic work that they do. Have his little door. Well, we don't have Dorcas. Remember we used to have Dorcas? Well, we ain't got any Dorcas. But if we had, you know, why didn't he do that? That seemed like that'd be very... And then advertise it.
Yes.
Yes.
I think if in order for other people to see it, they need to see an example of it in you.
Okay. Okay. That's why a lot of good Seventh-day Adventists, if they really wanted to witness, should pronounce themselves as Mormons when asked what church they belong to. They would be doing the Adventist church a big, gigantic favor. All right. Ah, well, you got my text? Let's go to John chapter 10, 7 through 10. Read it all at one time. I won't interrupt you, and we'll start back at the beginning.
All right, John 10, this is the subheading, Jesus the Good Shepherd.
Okay.
And I'm reading from the Good News Bible.
Okay.
So Jesus said again, I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for all sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever comes in by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness.
Okay, let's stop there. Now, why did Jesus say he came? To bring what? Life. What kind of life? Abundant? How do you look at abundant? Is he talking in the future? Is he talking now?
Now.
Okay.
Love for all mankind.
Love for all mankind. That's what our Attorney General said this last week. Love for all mankind. Sounds good. Well, how life abundantly? Now or in the future?
Now.
Now.
Both.
Who said both? Who said both?
I did.
Oh, good for you. That's the answer.
I'll
overall. Okay. Yeah. Our duty as a church is the same duty that Jesus had. Through the church, we're going to define that in a minute, we lead people to Christ or to God. And our job is that people have life more abundantly today and eternity. Now let's go back and dissect the verse to start out with. First of all, Jesus says, King James, here's the gate. In the King James, he says, I am the door. What does that mean to you?
You got to go in through the door.
Go in through the door. Now, there's two ways back in the time of Jesus that this scripture can be taken. Well, the obvious one is the second one. The first one is, at night, when the shepherd took the sheep, he put them in the pen for the night. They had a big gate, big door. And that door was secure, and the sheep could not get out. Well, this text talks about, right, Ron, where it says the sheep kind of come and go. So, we have to look at the secondary meaning. While out in the field, during the day, the shepherd would have a pen set up. It had only one entrance, one exit. And those little sheep throughout the day would go back and forth inside and outside that pen. When they wanted rest, they would go in the pen. When they wanted to get to the pasture, they'd go out. And often at night, the shepherd would be caught out in the fields with his sheep. So what he would do was he would take his sheep, put them in the pen, and he himself, the shepherd, would lay down in front of that gate, and the sheep could not get out unless they came over the shepherd, thus waking him up, and he would be there to protect him. In this text, that's what Jesus is saying. I am that door. I am that gate that protects my sheep. Thieves and robbers are all around with a false doctrine. They don't care anything about the sheep. They want to steal them and kill them. But only I am the true shepherd because I lay down at night and protect those sheep. So if you want safety and you're one of those dumb little sheeps, who's your safety?
Jesus.
And that's what he's saying. And then he ends up by saying, I've come to give you life. Read that again, last part, John 10.
That you might have life in all its fullness.
Okay. That is the duty of the church. Our job is to bring life to the community. Not sit and wait for the community to come to us. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with those programs. I believe in them. But we need to be actively out working in the community just as Jesus did. Now, Jesus was on this earth for 3.5 years. Go through the New Testament. How many sermons did he preach on doctrine? Yeah, and that undid most everything that the Jewish people fought. You see, sometimes as a church, we feel obligated that we need to make fellow people members of our church. And in the past, how have we done that?
Proof text.
Absolutely.
Evangelistic.
Absolutely. Proof text, evangelistic meetings.
Okay, I heard his big mouth again.
Pardon?
I have a chaplain come to me every other week. Have no idea what his denomination is or anything. But we have a bond. And he comes into the house, puts a chair here, me here, and we sit and hold hands. And he prays. He prays. And I didn't ask him if I could pray, but when he said amen, I just started to pray. And the first words is, thank God for his presence. And then I pray for him as he travels from place to place. And maybe at first I felt like I was not intruding, but maybe it wasn't my place. But I just felt that God was right there and I had to thank him for his presence. And then I asked the blessing as he goes from place to place.
Okay, absolutely. Now, Lloyd said something very interesting. He said that we're supposed to minister to people's needs. Well, I believe in that. As soon as we get them converted to being Adventists, then I think that we need to find out exactly what their needs are. But until you teach them the Sabbath, what else, what other reason would we want to do to meet their needs until they know the truth? See, that's that word truth. We keep love to throw it around. Well, by the way, what church has the truth?
We do.
We do. Right? We do. Then we wonder why the world just doesn't come and clamoring at our door. We wonder why the world says we're not very sociable. Well, we got the truth. You don't. You know, a wonderful way for me to train my salespeople to take that approach. Hi, I sell security. You need it and you're an idiot because you don't have it. Well, how would that go over? Hi, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I have the truth and you don't.
How do we go to the community and meet their needs?
It's a good question. How do we?
Food pantry is one way.
Absolutely. I'm not against, don't take advantage. I'm not against food pantry. Yeah, but that's not the soul-saving deal of the church.
What are some of the other ways?
That's what we're asking. What are they?
The way we live our lives.
Nice answer.
Our neighbor lost his wife a few weeks ago.
Okay.
I think it was the day after. My wife took over some fresh food for him. That's helping to meet the needs of somebody. And hopefully, you know, with those kinds of things, he'll know that we're Adventists.
He knows that now.
See, does it matter that they know we're an Adventist?
No.
What matters is we care about them.
Absolutely. That's the point. Jesus didn't walk around saying, oh, I'm the Redeemer. No. He met people where they were. How did he run across the 10 lepers?
Walking down the street.
Walking down the street. By the way, how many Bible courses did he give the 10 lepers? Did he enroll them in the 20th century Bible course? So, oh, you got leprosy. Fill out this card. No, the religious people had been telling them they had leprosy. Why? Because they were sinners. Don't let us as a church go to the people who are in need, who are sinning. Know they're in sin. Know they got problems. And we heap the same advice that Job's friends gave him. I don't know what you're doing wrong, but God certainly is mad at you. And if you'll just get your life straightened out, then God will work with you. No wonder we're ineffective in the community. If a man's hungry, what do you give him, Charles?
Food.
Why not enroll him in the Bible course when he walks up? Because it doesn't make sense. Person has marital problems. We want to sit down and say, well, I'll just pray yourself through this. No.
People are told that. I have people that have told me that somebody said
that. Better believe it. Here comes the 10 little lepers. Jesus runs across them. No Bible study. I don't think he asked them to know, recorded. Hey, what's your beliefs? He healed them. And how grateful were they? They were so happy, they forgot to do what? Even thanking. And one, as he was running home to tell his mom and dad and his brothers and sisters, look at me, I met a man. Look what he's done. Says, oop, just a minute. I ought to go back and thank the guy. What happened to the other nine? Leprosy come back? Jesus did not heal them to convert them. He healed them because he loved them. I used to teach 5-day how to quit smoking classes. What was the hook? What?
Get them into the church.
Get them into the church!
Ernie.
Because you see, just a second. When you just go come back to you. Because you see, the final statistic on the report of the 5-day stop smoking class was not how many people did you help stop smoke. That was on there. But guess what the final question on there was? Now, you don't think people can tell that? So it's a good plan. Yes?
One time I thanked God for allowing me to be a missionary and to have the state of Texas pay me for it. I worked for 25 years with Child Protective Services.
Absolutely.
And I thought I was a missionary.
What is?
The state paid me.
It is. It is. Any? Yes.
Show you how things can get off base even when you're trying to do something good. I work in the food pantry, and my duty and Mark Riker's duty is after they get the food, put it in a cart, take it out, put it in the car. But we had somebody come out and say, y'all need to work faster to get stuff in the car because it's backing up. And it gets pretty hectic. We got to serve 85 people in 2 hours. Well, Mark can have a decent conversation with that wall. Me, I'd have to have a tree or something that I can talk to. So we talk to the people when we go out, and we find out a lot of stuff about them. And here you got a ministry that you're trying to help people, but then you have people say, we just got to get more people out the door instead of sitting and talking to them. And we have found out, I curious that people stood out, put in the car, and I just simply asked the guy, I said, hey, how's your day going? He goes, really not too good. And I go, well, why is that? He said, my mother passed away last night. I don't have money to make it to her funeral. And so just learn more about setting and talking to them instead of just trying to get people out the door. And Mark is even better at that than I am. He can tell you about people with grandkid problems and stuff like that. Yeah. And that's where you really get into the ministry part. It's not, I mean, yes, they're hungry. Yes, they need food. But they need more than that.
Yeah. And that's that should be the essence of every ministry, is fulfill their need. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. He says that he walked among men, he fulfilled their need, he won their confidence. And then he said, follow me. We turn it around backwards. Just think. We have a 2-week evangelistic series. And within that 2 weeks, we turn, well, whoever shows up, most of the time their religious experience, totally opposite. We teach them they're going to the wrong day. We teach them that the Catholic Church is a tremendous enemy. We teach them that you can't eat pork and you can't drink and you can't smoke. And maybe God loves you if you do all the right things. Then within this 2-week period, we want people to make that decision. And then we have no support once they make that decision in most churches. And then we wonder why, after 6 months, they're no longer here. We have not met any of their needs. I ought to know. I did it. I partaked in it. Partook in it, whatever the word is. English is not my good subject. I did it. And then when they left because of the Sabbath, we sat and said, oh, we almost had them. Man, would I love to go undo those days. That's why we have our ministry. I'd love to go undo those days. I had no message. When we care about people just like Jesus did, with no ulterior motive than to make their life more abundant. And I believe that we have a message that makes people's life more abundant, presented in the correct way. When we have the privilege of bringing people to Jesus, and they find out how much He loves them and how much He cares for them, and as they behold Him, they will become a people who will have no other gods than God Himself. Who wouldn't think about taking God's name in vain. And they'll love the Sabbath. They get away from the cares of the world. They get to fellowship with a people that love Jesus. They get to be with their families. They get away from the world. They will love that. And their mother and their father, because of the love the Father has for them, they will love their father and their mother. They wouldn't think about killing a human being. They won't think about stealing from anybody. They would not think about coveting anybody, anything. Why? Because when you fall in love with Jesus, none of this others makes sense. Just like my grandson's birthday happens to be July the 13th. Know of anybody else's whose birthday is July 13th? Or anybody, you know? Just, you know, I just don't remember if y'all remember or not. But see? Well, I love to celebrate his birthday. So that's what the Sabbath becomes. But what we do is we turn it around. Don't you dare have a God before you. Don't you ever take God's name in vain. And you better keep the Sabbath. And by the way, when you do those things, then you'll get to know God and be in His favor. That's our message. No wonder the world turns against it. Yes?
It reminds me of that illustration that we usually say about the church like a hospital. And we are all sick and... But many times, who wants to go to the hospital?
Yeah.
And the hospital, only people are sick and many times in a coma. They're not moving. Yeah. So I was thinking about that. And our church should be like a home where we are welcome, where we feel comfortable. And people say, oh, I like being here because I feel welcome.
Right.
And changing this idea of a church being just like you're passively receiving the
Holy Spirit. You're sitting there surgically being worked on. Yeah. No. So this quarter, Roger, myself, and Rob, hopefully we'll begin to go through what Jesus did in the community, because that's what the church has to do in the community. The greatest thing a person could say, in my opinion, oh, you're a Seventh-day Adventist? Boy, you're the people that have that special relationship with God. When we arrive to that point, people will flock to us. It's like the children of Israel, when they came through the promised land, going to the promised land, God's plan was to have the food pantry that Charles works in. And as the people came through that crossroads of the world, they would see the children of Israel happy, worshiping God. Plants good, vegetables good. They'd say, my, what do you have that we don't have? And it was then they would say, well, let me tell you what God has done for me. Until we can tell people what God has done for us, we have no message. Father in heaven, thank you for your Son who came to demonstrate to us how much you care and how much you love us. It was Jesus who walked through and fed the 5,000. It was Jesus who walked through and healed the woman that had blood disease. It was Jesus who walked through and healed the leprosy people. It was Jesus that the little children sat on their lap. Father, help us to be a caring instrument in the community, that when people have questions or problems or need prayer, they'll come to us and say, you know, you have something special. Would you remember my friend, my mother, my dad, my son in prayer? When that happens, we know that we're reflecting your love. Be with us and thank you for this class. We appreciate our visitors today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.